Perception vibes, where the vibe is to only be perceived by the music. There's already enough shade within the shade room, so we will not be discussing news, politics, gossip, anything of that nature, which is to be debated, if it is outside of the music or the creation of music. My name is Breeze, and this is my co-host, Shake B.
And the question is, what's an intro to an interlude?
Now before we get started, let's go ahead and shout out our sponsors, Dope Coffee,
Shake House Music Group,
and Y Creators behind the production.
How you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good, you know, feel pretty good. It's a new week.
Vibrations high.
Yes, they
excited
are.
Excited to be here for season two, episode
yes.
two.
Yes, all that. So, what's the difference between an intro and an interlude?
I believe that an intro is kind of self-explanatory. You want to get your listeners excited about what it is that you're presenting to them as far as their album. Intros, like for example, Meek Mill's Dreams and Nightmares, probably one of the best intros in the last two decades. Mm-hmm. You know, and that I'm not even saying just because it's rap or R&B, I'm talking about period. Like you hear that intro and it's like everybody's going to go crazy.
Right.
So if you can open your album with something as strong as that, it gets your listener excited about what else on the album they're going to get ready to hear. That's what should happen. If you have a solid intro, it's like, okay, I want to hear everything else. But sometimes that intro, it's like the only thing on there that really got you that excited.
So as a producer, how do you structure an album to know, like, this album really doesn't need an intro, or this one I feel you have to have something to lead into it?
I feel like intros have now become a lost art. You don't really see many intros on an album anymore. It was like a given. You got an intro song on there. Like you knew that it was an intro song. There's two types of intros. You got the intro where, like, for example, Teyana Taylor's The Album. That was an intro of how she had Junie and the 911 call and all of those things. And that was, I feel like that was something that was special because then it led to the following song, which was a song with Junie on there. So that was a good thing, for those who still look at album track lists to see that Junie was on the song, and then you just hear the intro and it's like all about when she was born kind of thing. That you could have that. I want to say for most R&B albums back in the day, you had the intro where most of the time they might have been just harmonizing to get you ready for somewhat of the sound of what the album is going to be. Or you have an intro song.
Mm-hmm.
I like all of them. But I feel that the ones that have their intro with talking and things of that nature, it's more of a one-time kind of listen. It's not something that you can continue to keep going back to.
Yeah.
To listen to.
Describing an intro that way is basically, the intro should be the trailer for the album.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
It's supposed to give you the, what it is you're exactly about to experience.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Same with outros.
Mm-hmm.
You got the intros and the outros. That if you're going to have an intro and an outro, they kind of have to complete the circle. that doesn't necessarily mean that you have to have the same music for your intro and outro. It just has to make sense. It has to complete the album. You may can break it up into two pieces for the intro and outro. You may start it off mellow and have the same music around it, but then the outro, you want to give it some dynamic range and you want to be slightly more exciting because now you came to the finish line.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope you enjoyed the album.
Mm-hmm.
For the outro,
close it out
strong,
close the show,
close it up.
Now, interludes. What's the proper length of an interlude to be considered an interlude? Because for me, I think a solid 2 minutes, that's an interlude.
Yep.
Like, that's the max.
Yep.
In order to call it an interlude. Yep. 2 minutes.
Yeah. But the problem with having interludes in today's music is that most songs are
2 minutes. I know.
Most songs are less than 3 minutes long. So that's where I feel it kind of takes away the art of the interlude. Mm. Because, you know, they try and say that most listeners today have a short listening span. And I only feel that may be true when it comes to the music that is pretty much, it's pretty much
a hook.
Yeah.
One verse and then two more hooks and then the song's over.
Yeah. I feel like
that's lazy music.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what it is.
Yeah. Like, why are we, as listeners, accepting that as enough, you know?
Right.
Because it's like, we're basically saying, as long as you keep feeding me music, I'll take this 2 minute song. But what do I have to show for this song? I'm saying the same thing over and over. And then it's like,
and then also goes for the beat as well.
Yeah.
Because if it's just a 4-bar, 8-bar loop, you know, it's repetitive. So that means that a lot of people are going to get tired of that song after a while. So they just feel like, well, let me just give you a verse, a half verse, and the hook a few times. Give you the intro, a verse, chorus, then you get a half of a verse, maybe slightly like a pre-chorus, and the hook again and let it ride out. But I think for R&B, it shouldn't be that way.
Yeah.
We've lost the art of the bridge as well. Yes. Which I feel like eventually we're going to talk about the bridge of songs as well, because they're, I've seen a producer, I think I want to say it was Brian Michael Cox, that said that the bridge has lost its art form because artists get intimidated or scared of that section of the song, because the bridge,
that's usually my favorite part.
Yeah, because the bridge is where you take the song to its highest peak.
Yeah.
And then you close it out.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I feel like for some, it may be intimidating and make them scared because they can't reach those levels that it causes you to go for your vocals. So they get scared and just be like, nah, we'll just.
So then this taps back into what we talked about last episode. It's like, who's the team around you to really like say like, no, like push you to, you know, eliminate that thought process of, I don't know if I can do exactly what I envisioned to do on this track, but it's like, no, pull it out.
I feel like that part falls on the producer.
Okay.
Because sometimes, depending on if the producer created the beat and they didn't have the bridge in mind,
mm-hmm.
or if this beat was given to an artist and it's being produced by someone else, the producer who was given the beat and said, okay, I want you to, I need you to give this song to such and such, and I want you to produce that song. If that producer feels like, if the song needs a bridge, or maybe we should add a bridge, then it's up to the producer to do that.
Mm-hmm. So still, it's like, again, we need that studio presence of in one room. Like, the artist and the producer are in the studio together to say, make the track that you anticipated for it to be in the first place.
Right.
Yeah.
How do you feel about interludes?
It can go either way for me. Like, sometimes interludes, they're like fillers in the album, for the album. And then sometimes they can just like contribute to the flow of the album to help the album like progress along. Because sometimes in an interlude, I can feel like it's like a break of the album.
Yeah.
To where I just needed to, like, the artist can be like, I just need to get some shit off real quick and then go back to the music. Like, for an example, Rihanna on her Anti album, the Higher song, You Take Me Higher.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't necessarily need that song, but I love it because it's there. But if it was not a part of the track list, would I really miss it?
Okay.
Because it didn't really contribute to the album, you know? Like, it didn't make it flow better. It didn't make or break the album.
Mm-hmm.
It was just kind of I'm going to plug this in there real quick, and then we can get back to the album.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But interludes for me, like, I love interludes. I'll take the song versions. I'll take the ones where it's kind of like a skit almost.
Mm-hmm.
I'll take the talking versions. It just depends. It depends. But what I love about interludes, they help me on my playlist making.
Okay.
A lot. Like, when I'm stuck on a flow and I just need something to kind of like ease me to the song that I really want to put in there, that's an interlude for me.
I don't know if I recall really having to put interludes on my playlist, unless I really truly enjoy them. Like, I love interludes, and most of the time, if it's a really good interlude, I'm usually pissed that it's not a full song.
Exactly. That's exactly what I was going to ask you. It's like,
okay, so example, like Trey Songz. Shit.
You gotta be quicker than that.
Kiss my ass. I want to say Penny Wetter. He has Penny Wetter and Penny Dropper. But I feel like Penny Dropper started off as an interlude, and I feel like he got caught wind that we wanted a longer version. Facts. And then turn it into a full song. So I want to say it's Penny Dropper.
Yeah, this right here is a Penny Dropper.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, for sure.
Yes.
For sure. But now his was a success. Like, when he turned his intro interlude to a song, it worked. But it does not always work.
Example.
I'm going to go with Her. Like, I love the version of Be On My Way. She made it the full version now.
Let me hear it.
You don't even have it anymore. Like, when she came out with the prelude of her album, it was an interlude. I'm going to play it.
Yeah, play it, because I'm not hearing it offhand.
But it's like, now that you made it a song, now it's too long, now it's too much, now I don't like it.
Yeah, because there was a few songs that she had originally had as just...
If I'm giving you the cold shoulder,
Oh yeah, because then she go at the end of the song, it'd be like, and you don't belong to me, and then it cut off. Okay, yeah, so you were mad that she made that into a full song, because after you got to that part, it didn't make sense.
Yeah, and then it's like, I don't want to hear this now. So it's like, interludes for me is like, I love the feeling of, damn, I want this to be a full song, but then, do I really want it to be a full song? I don't know.
And okay, so I have another example. Find this for me. Chris Brown's Lady in a Glass Dress. That started off as an interlude, and then he turned that into a full song, and I didn't like it as a full song. Glass dress, I can see right through you. Act like you don't want this, but you know that you do. Since he broke your heart, girl, you say you never love again. And you won't let it stop, girl, but we know in the end you still dream. Dream. You still dream. It got cut dream. Off after that. After he did, a lady in a glass dress. After he did that, it cuts off, but we could have left that one as an interlude.
Kept
that as an interlude.
Yeah, facts. But you know, my all-time, and you know what? I'm going to tie this in there because I'm still a little upset. We were supposed to have the verses.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But,
Yeah, yeah.
Praying for your health, Ashanti, but, we could have took it to the old school verses on the live. That's all I'm going to say. We started on lives with verses.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We could have. Now everybody gotta be production wise.
Yeah.
We gotta be in the same room. Like, we still ain't somewhat in quarantine. We still could have had that verses last night, and it still would have been fire. But it is what it is.
All I know is if you gonna push it back, both of y'all better bring some more heat than what you was gonna bring.
Yeah, give them time on what it is that they want to do.
But this song right here of Keisha Cole's, I wish it would have been a full song.
Here we go again with all this. Like, why we can't never get this right?
Yo, what you talking about, man? Yo, where you think you going?
What you mean where I'm going?
I don't recall this one at all.
See, that's what I'm saying. That was an interlude, but it's like, oh, I wish it would have been a full song.
Now, was that song an interlude by itself, or was that at an end of a song?
No, that was its own interlude.
Okay, so
that makes me mad too.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So that's one thing I think they use to see if you really were listening to the album. I think Timberland in the beginning, this was like his formula of making albums, because a lot of Missy, I haven't been able to listen to Aaliyah because they refused to put her music on streaming sites. So I can't recall right now with Aaliyah, but Aaliyah, Genuine.
Yeah, Genuine. I recall a lot of Genuine.
A lot of Genuine songs at the end of them had like interlude skits and things like that on them that you had to listen to the entire song, especially when it was on CD, you know, before all the streaming and everything. You had to listen to the entire song to find out that they had like at the end of None of Your Friends' Business.
Yes.
Man, I should have used that joint. It's this time, right? Yo, turn it down. Let me get the phone out.
Hello.
Hello.
That song, I wish I could have heard that whole version, or even just give me the interlude of it. Like, just give me 2 minutes of it just to hear how it sounds. Like, I like that song.
But yeah, because it's like, but that goes back to the fact that albums in the 90s were, it was a story, you know, like, I don't know, it told something. So all the music led to exactly what the album is about, you know, so everything kind of flowed together. Do you think that now, because music is received so quickly, it's like, I'm just going to give you songs? And
no, I still want the interludes.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to make a playlist of all these interludes that we discuss in today's episode and show how even those interludes can flow with a playlist, because some of them it's like, ooh, what is that? And you know, another one that I have trouble with is the interludes that are completely better than the actual song that it's for.
Yeah.
So, like Tank, he has a few from the album Now or Never. The one that says, Can I intro?
I just hope you're ready.
Right? So you got that. And then you go to the next song that's supposed to be the song, Can I?
You've been on my mind. Hope you got some time.
It don't got that vibe at all.
Oh,
I
completely
thought I was
different.
About to get into some. Ooh!
She back in the bedroom.
Stop.
Welcome back to the bedroom.
No, man. You can't give me that kind of interlude. And then the song doesn't even match the vibe.
Yeah.
Like, no. And then he got another one that's Sex, Love, and Pain 1. It's a tricky song because it's pretty much two songs in one. You get an interlude within the song. The song is called Coldest, but in the beginning of the song, you have a interlude of Sex, Love, and Pain.
Tell me what you like. We can fuss and fight all day, but trust, we gon' be sexing all night. It don't matter, girl, I'm down for whatever. Ride with you through any kind of weather. Girl, just give me all
sex, love, and pain.
Oh, I won't know your
sex, love, and pain.
Everything you got for me, yeah.
Okay, right? So then if you listen to the entire song, you know it's going to break off and then it go into Coldest. So play that. Not the same vibe.
Baby, I want to know it. Get close enough and let me hold it. I'm on it, girl, let me show it. You should choose me tonight. Baby, your body move me.
Not the same vibe. Like, how you give me that sex, love, and pain in the beginning, and then the remainder of the song is like, what?
No. Yeah. So, yeah. If you would have started with that example to prove your point, you would have proved your point. Because, yeah, no.
No. Like, why you play me like that? Like, I would never want to hear you play Coldest. I will only want to hear you play Sex, Love, and Pain. Like, that, I be feeling like you be cheating. You be setting me up for the woo. Like, why?
And then, like, to go back to Timberland, like, he even did that on Justin Timberlake's album. You had to listen to the whole What Goes Around Comes Around just to get to the set the mood.
Yes, that's the Justin Timberlake I be really wanting to hear.
Yeah.
the Set the Mood. Like, I don't even think people even know about Set the Mood.
Right.
That Set the Mood, that is one of my favorite ones for Justin, because it takes you away from the typical Justin Timberlake and give you true R&B vibes with Timberland on the beat.
So we always have to fact check here on Perception Vibe.
It's wrong song.
It's Until the End of Time.
Oh,
it was Until the End of Time.
Yeah, get it together.
Let me set the mood right, 'cause I'm gonna make you feel alright. Let me set the mood right, 'cause I'm gonna make you feel
alright. I would so love Justin Timberlake to give me one true R&B album. Justin, that would be so nice. I will love it.
It would have to be with Timberland, though.
Of course. I wouldn't know. It has to be produced by Timberland.
Because even Cry Me a River, that was your song.
Yeah. It was a few Justin songs.
Now, don't sleep on Frank Ocean and his interludes. I know that I said that Frank is not R&B, but Frank has, like, Frank's interludes are fire for me.
Frank falls under the same thing with having the song change at the end, having an interlude. What's the one that had pyramids at the end? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Ooh, pyramids. But my all-time favorite interlude was from Channel Orange. It's Only a Melody. I want to say John Mayer. Yep. This is my favorite one.
Now my question is, do you enjoy that because of our upbringing, of being able to listen to songs without necessarily having the lyrics to them?
Yeah, I would say definitely. Facts. Anchor is a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing your podcast.
Best of all, it's 100% free and ridiculously easy to use.
And now, Anchor can match you with great sponsors who want to advertise on your podcast.
That means you get to get paid to podcast right away. In fact, that's what I'm doing right now by reading this ad. Make sure you join Anchor for all your podcast needs.
I didn't think about it that way before you said it, but yes. Because I love lyrics. Like, I love lyrics. I think that lyrics is just another layer to the beat, you know? But I'm able to take time to really just enjoy the music behind the lyric, you know? So, like, I appreciate songs like that.
Because I only asked that because, you know, getting prepared to do this episode this morning, I had this thought, like, Mary J. Blige has an interlude on the Love and Life album. And she has the interlude called Message in the Music, which samples Kool and the Gang's Summer Madness. So hearing that, like, you know, most of the time for me, when it comes to, like, songs from back in the day that we grew up on, I kind of have a hard time with enjoying the newer versions of it because I'm so in love with it being natural and just having the instrumentation. So when I heard that, I did enjoy it, but then it also just made me want to go and listen to the Kool and the Gang version of it. Mm-hmm. Like, it's still smooth. It still give you the vibes and everything like that. But, you know, I like Kool & the Gang's version.
So.
And I also like Janae's.
Right.
She just did it this year as well.
Right. But on the original Chilombo album, it was an interlude.
Right.
And then she turned it into a full song. Would you say that the full song was better than the interlude?
I like both.
Okay.
It doesn't matter either or. For that version.
How do you feel about having like an interlude or intro of a song in the beginning of an album and then later the actual full song comes in? So like, for example, Teyana Taylor, she did it with Out of My League. It's an intro.
Yes.
But at the end of the album, you get the full song.
Full circle. Example. Pretty much the example of what I was talking about. If you're going to have the outro or have any kind of outro, it has to be completed. It has to make sense. You, otherwise, don't call it an outro. Just name it whatever the song is.
Mm-hmm. And I don't even think that was necessarily the outro.
No, it wasn't. But you got the Out of My League interlude.
Yeah.
So you introduced it as an interlude.
Mm-hmm.
You decided to close out the album with the full version of that song. That's cool. And this is another reason why I probably go more in depth about it when we do the end of the year wrap up. But this is why Teyana Taylor need to get her respect, because she was a student. Like those little things like that, the interlude of Out of My League, and then giving us the complete song of it. You gave us the R&B, like, that's the formula. That's a winning formula that you've brought and modernized it for today's music. Stop sleeping on her.
Who do you fault for that? Because, like, people that, like, genuinely respect the art of music and, like, really dedicate themselves to knowing the art and studying, you know, music from before and artists from before and like things that worked. Like, who do you fault to say that, you know, they just go off the grid? But that's what's working right now. The stuff that goes off the grid. Is it because it's like, I don't want to say that they don't care, but they're able to just like go in the studio, make the song, release the song. But whereas artists like Teyana Taylor, she'll be in the studio for months to give you a full package that she's proud of, saying, no, I want to release this.
Who do you think is going to last longer? The one who really puts their all into the art of it, or who's just recording and releasing?
I'm always going to back the one that's giving me quality.
Like Jasmine Sullivan, for instance, she about to get ready to drop a project. It's not an album. She said it's a project.
Mm-hmm.
Jasmine hasn't came out with anything since reality TV. And it's a concept album. So she's already letting us know that there is going to be skits or interludes on there. So that just made me a little more excited about her album. But she doesn't have to come out with multiple. She doesn't have to keep pushing music out for everybody just to keep grabbing the attention. I guess as far as business, that may hurt her. But for those who really care about the music, we ready. Whenever you ready, because we know we gonna get quality. We know it's going to be, even if, you know, for somebody like me who is all about the completion of each song, with somebody like Jasmine, you have to listen to her for completion and not just a bunch of shit that she just want to push out.
Mm-hmm.
I respect those artists more and am willing to wait for them more because I know you're going to give me quality. Mm-hmm.
And it's like, and for me, like working with independent artists and to market in today's music world industry, that's why I kind of get frustrated, because it's like, I know the talent that's behind the music. I know the, and sometimes this word can be like loosely used, but I know the passion behind the artist who's creating the music. So it's like to flock over to this way, because like they're constantly releasing music, but it's like, what are you getting from that? You know, like, what are you really gaining from the music that they're putting out? Because like, for me, I'm automatically going to say it's trash, but that's because like, it sounds exactly like how long it took you to put it out.
You think so?
The production's cool, I guess, but it's like, it just goes back to when we were just talking about, like, I got a hook, I got one verse, and then I got the hook again, and then the song's done. And that's all I got.
Okay, I got a question. So as a manager, marketing and all of that, right? These 2-minute songs or these less than 3-minute songs that we are getting now, do you think it's because now you can just book them at a club or do certain events and they can just get the bag by performing those songs in its entirety because they're not that long? Is it business, or is it really that these artists are just saying, I'm after the music because of the money and I really don't care about the art behind it?
What I think it is that like artists, current artists, new artists, they're able to stay relevant because they're able to produce fast. They're able to release fast. They're able to kind of keep up with the, I need more music, so they can just like give it to you. And not necessarily that they don't care, but they're able to keep up with today's way of receiving music. Whereas like the people who really care about the structure, the quality, the sound, the instrumentation, things like that, like the presentation of the music, it's like we just have to find ways to stick to our way of doing things, but recreating the wheel to be just as relevant. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, how do you keep up with today? And that doesn't necessarily mean that you have to constantly give new music. You just have to take the music that you have and present it in a new way, you know? So it's like, you got an album, present it in a commercial, present it in an ad, present it in your own ad, you know? Create your own way of marketing your music versus just putting out new music. Like, put it in front of people in different ways so that they have to listen to it.
So you mean as the manager or marketing person for an artist, you believe that you need to find ways to get the album into movies, different syncing ads and all sorts of things like that, and allow people to sit with it. For example, like Lizzo. I didn't know who the hell Lizzo was, but I heard her song in the movie. The Why Men, you know, I heard that song in a movie. Didn't know who the hell she was. But then it started to catch all over the place, and then you finally got to put face with song.
Yeah.
And then that's when it went crazy, because then she started dropping more from the album. So do you feel like maybe labels or artists are not allowing the music to sit and grow with the listeners because we keep putting out this statement that the listener is
asking for new music?
Yeah,
because it's like, you're never, like, for me, like, if we continue on this trend, we'll never create a classic, because you didn't give me enough time to really sit with that album. You put out another EP, you put out another album, but you literally just put something out. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, now I forgot that you even made that album because I'm over here listening to this album. So it's just like, know your audience, know your audience and know how it is that they're like taking in music. So it's like people watch TV. Exactly. Try to find ways to put it on TV shows. People listen to podcasts. Try to find ways to put it on podcasts or even get on that podcast to where, you know, you're speaking about it. You know, treat the music as a book signing. You know what I mean? So like when somebody releases a book, you don't automatically come out with the expectation that like the world is going to read this book. You have to go to different cities to like do a book reading, give explanation behind the book. Why did you make the book? You know, let your fans really know the reason behind the music. You know what I'm saying? The reason behind you, because I think that's what's going to help the reception of the album.
So you think that interviews are still important?
Absolutely.
Because a lot of established artists like refuse to do interviews anymore.
And I think that that's selfish.
I think it is too.
It's selfish because to know the artist is how you create the connection of the fan to your music. So it's like if you want to say that you don't want to sit in front of a camera to even give any type of notion to who you are, why am I going to take my time and invest my time into your music?
But I understand as an artist, though, is that the media don't focus on the music anymore. So we need more platforms like Perception Vibes where we focus on the music.
That's what I was going to say. There's no excuse because there's so many outlets besides the big media outlets. You don't have to only go to BET or whoever else, and that's not even shade to BET, but I'm just saying, like, you don't have to go to the big platforms to get your message out. There's podcasts, there's blogs. Artists should not be afraid to create relationships with people who are going to get your music heard. So the marketing part is, I don't want to say stop making music, but I want to say if you put out an album, give that album a good year. A good year. Like Teyana Taylor, she put out her album this year. It was beautiful. Has it reached its full potential of like really being received? No. And what do I need? I need that commentary. I need to know, like, give me your perception, Teyana.
Especially on concrete.
And that's even to say, like, with videos. That's another element that we're missing because, like, videos today, they don't really tell the story of the song.
Right.
So it's like, I need more person to person. Artists should not be afraid to give more of that person to person.
We went on a nice little rant, though, but that was cool. I liked it.
Yeah.
I liked it.
But it still goes with the intros, the interludes, because it's like, interludes are necessary. Intros are necessary. Like, because if you just have
a bunch of songs, it's like, okay, did you just give me a bunch of singles or did you give me a complete body of work?
Right.
I feel like EPs have replaced mixtapes.
Yeah.
Because mixtapes were free and now they can make money off the EPs pretty much. They don't call them mixtapes anymore. They call them EPs or conceptual projects and things like that. So I want to say, like, Trey Songz, when he was in a gray area, I guess, with releasing albums, this is where the anticipation albums came from. And then later on along the lines, if you got a deluxe version or something like that, and then you got some of those songs that were on the mixtape ended up on the album. And then some of them turned into interludes,
mm-hmm.
like on Chapter 5.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's my favorite interlude.
Which one? I like
Chapter 5.
Oh, the interlude Chapter 5?
Yes.
Wait, let me hear it. I think that might be one of my ones too.
I'm gonna sing it for y'all. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, Trey Songz, Chapter 5. That's probably, I don't want to say my favorite, but it's one of my favorites. Trey Songz, if you make an, look, let me put this out here. If you make an album of interludes, I'll buy it.
Trey Songz?
I'll buy it.
You'll buy it if he just did interludes?
Yeah, and I would want Trey Songz to structure, like, even if he took the ones that he already have out
and made an album,
if he structured it, I would buy it. Girl, you ready? Say you ready. Hope you ready. I'll take my cover song credit, Trey.
Girl, you ready? Say you ready. Hope you ready. Know you ready. All I ask is when I'm in that thing, hold it steady. Get it, true freaks, new sheets, you gon' wet it. Make that pussy hurricane. Boom spins like a tornado when that thunderstorm hit it.
Yeah, see, that started off where anticipation to end it. That's the vibe that it gave me when hearing that. And then you got...
And that's technically an intro.
Right. Right. That's an intro. And then you get two more interludes. You got Inside Interlude and then Interlude for You. So it's like, if you didn't hear Anticipation 2, here's what you missed.
Right.
That's how I felt when I heard those interludes on there. Which one you got? The Inside? It gave you the Inside song. It gave you those lyrics, but then it gave you a whole nother vibe, which is still on the same vibe of the Inside song. And it's like, that's the shit that I'm talking about. Give me that. I like that. Put me in a mood. And I've, you know, to go back to last week when you was coming for me on the Minute R&B, the reason why I fall in love with that type of music.
Being stuck in the bedroom, aka.
Whatever. Listen to the way that the music makes you feel and the way that it's being sung. Like, I can't get that same kind of feeling with upbeat music. I'm not getting the harmonization. I'm not getting the instrumentation or the atmosphere of what it is that's in the music, in the beat.
No, I get it. I love it. I'm here for it. You know, I have no problem with it, but I'm not stuck there. And I'm not saying that you're stuck there. I'm able to pull, because I even noticed that with your list of interludes, there's a lot of that vibe.
But it's like, though that type of vibe challenges my ear.
Yeah.
That's why I like those things. It's not even necessarily because it's about being in a bedroom or anything of that nature. It's just about, it's challenging me to listen, to critically listen to the music. Like, I have to sit there sometimes then damn near having the headphones jammed in my ear so that I can hear everything that's going on with the song, those transitions that everybody may not hear, those key changes that you may not hear, even the vocal changes that everybody may not hear. Whereas some, I want to say majority of upbeat songs don't challenge you that way. Or even with rap music, it doesn't challenge you that way. So I'm not interested in that. I'm interested in how the hell did you come up with those different harmonies of those vocals, like things like that. Like, that's why I enjoy that music. It's I want to say maybe 5% of it is about the actual content of the songs, the lyrical breakdown of the songs, but everything else is about the music and the structure of the song
and the creation of music.
Yes, let's go.
Like for Summer Walker, she have a couple interludes. Like, I like the interludes that are just like the short songs. That's my interlude. Summer Walker's Deep from Last Day of Summer.
Let me hear it.
Why don't we love just to fucking let go? Cause we're way too involved just to cut in that cold.
It leaves you with a hanger.
Yeah.
It leaves you wanting more.
Exact. That's why I said for me, it's like, damn, I wish this was a song. But if she made that a song, it would be too much. Sometimes. Because like, I think they stray away from, sometimes I think artists stray away from the initial intention of the song just to give you more.
Mm. Okay. So what do you think about the interludes that break down what the album is supposed to be about? Like, what the album is supposed to be about, like Trey Songz, Passion, Pain, Pleasure.
How he split his up. So it's just like, this is the passion, this is the pain. Yeah, I love that. It just gives you... I love anything that's going to, like, make this whole body of work one body of work. Versus, I can listen to this song or this song or this song, but I love that I have, like, I can only listen to one section and be okay. You know what I mean? So, like, I can listen to, like, I can have the option to only listen to the pain part of the album or the pleasure part of the album. Or if I listen to all three, I still get a whole experience. I'm all about experience with music. Give me an experience.
Do you feel that is a lost art?
Yes, because sometimes I don't know what the hell the album is supposed to be about. Because it's all over the place.
Do you feel like it's a lost art for all music or just R&B?
I don't really want to speak on rap because I don't really want to speak on rap. But R&B, to an extent, I feel like what I think the album is going to be about, it turns out to be the complete opposite. Or... I don't know. I don't have any examples of that. Like for this year, did Chilombo get released this year?
Yes.
That's the only one that I have an example of that. Like it didn't give me a complete package. It didn't give me the complete feel. Like,
well, when you compare it to Trip, no.
Even if you compare it to Sold Out.
You feel like Sold Out gave you a complete package? I mean, I agree. But yeah. I'm just saying.
Yeah. And even like, I know she did an interview where she said that Chilombo is supposed to be like the up and down emotions of a woman. And that's cool. But I just didn't the structure was not there
for me. That's what I was going to say. Do you just feel like the structure wasn't right?
The structure wasn't there for me.
Like, even when you think about the structure of Trip.
Flow for me. Like, that. Like Trip is a perfect example of a book, of a movie, of an experience. Because, like, you literally, like, even from the intro, LSD, to Jakai, to... when you get to Bad Trip interlude, it's just like, in this moment, I'm just losing my shit.
Exactly.
Like, she gets, like, you know exactly what she intended that album to be about.
Right.
A trip.
So, what do you think happened between Chalambo and Trip? Because that was, like, a perfect album. Interludes. Intro, all of that.
In my honest opinion, Janae, I felt like Janae was trying to reach a broader audience.
With Chalambo?
With Chalambo. And the reason I say that is because, like, because I just want to make sure, like, I'm accurate with my perception. So Janae, for me, like, she talk her shit, you know, she talk her shit, and it's like subliminal. Like, you have to listen to know, like, okay. But, like, it was just laid out on the table for me. Like, songs like BS and Pussy Fairy and Happiness Over Everything, you know, those are songs that, like, people loved. People who probably weren't necessarily Janae fans in the beginning.
Right, right.
Those songs, they were just like, yes, love Janae. And I'm just like, no, Janae. No. Give me my Surrender, please.
Yes.
Give me, like, when I got to Surrender, I'm like, yes, this is who I'm looking for. Even One Way Street, like, that was my song. I love One Way Street. She had an interlude on Chalambo, Define Me, and it was cute. I felt like with Lotus, her Lotus intro, she tried to redo the LSD intro.
Mm-hmm.
It's like she wanted to do Trip again, but for this one, it needed to be her Happiness. She went through her trip. Now let me show you. Let me display my happiness. And that's cool. I want you to be happy.
Does that go back to the whole conversation that we had last week with the women being put in a box? They have to be depressed or going through a breakup in order for them to give an excellent album. Or do the artists put it on themselves to try so hard to say, I'm not there anymore. Here's the music.
Yeah.
And then the music doesn't translate to the fans the way that they thought that it was going to translate to them.
Yeah, because, like, you know, you hate to say, like, I want you to be heartbroken again, but it's just like pain gives you great music. It sucks to say, but, like, I feel like you dive deeper into your creativity when you're going through pain. Versus if you're happy, you just don't feel, I don't know. I don't songwrite, so I can't really have that much of an opinion on that. But from a listener standpoint, I'll take Sold Out, Trip, Sail Out, over Chalambo. But when she came out with the deluxe,
that was good.
I'll take the deluxe track.
Yeah.
Keep the rest of the album.
Yes. I'll
take the deluxe track.
Yeah. But then that goes to show you that she's capable of doing it, because Summer 2020, that was nice.
She listened to her fans. I felt like Janae knew she had to. And I said this. I said that in order for me to forgive Janae, she needed to give me a completely different EP or something, because I wasn't happy. And when she came out with the deluxe, I'm like, all right.
Because then she gave you another example of what the song with her and her sister, right?
Right.
She gave you the full version, because in Pussy Fairy, the beginning part of it.
Exactly.
The beginning part of it was a song. I love the
intro.
Right. And then she turned that. You don't like the song?
I don't like Pussy Fairy.
No. The beginning of Pussy Fairy.
Yeah, I love the intro of Pussy Fairy. But then
when we got the deluxe, we got the full song.
The song was great.
Exactly.
The song was great.
So she gave you an example there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you had to turn around and give us that full song, because everybody wanted that. The true Janae fans.
Exactly.
Wanted that song.
Exactly.
Before they wanted Pussy Fairy.
Exactly. That's what I mean. Like, that's what I mean when I said that Chilombo was Janae's album to reach a broader audience. And that's cool. But her true fans was like, hey, this ain't that. So what did she do? She came out with her deluxe and we were fine. We were happy.
Okay.
That's my perception. Because even like Janae, like her interludes, like New Balance freestyle.
Do you consider New Balance an interlude?
To me, yeah. Okay. New Balance freestyle. I don't know, it's weird. New Balance is like three songs in one.
You think so?
Yeah, because like this part is its own section.
Yeah.
And then when he hit me with the tidal wave. That's a different sound.
Okay, so you think from a production side of it, it's interlude. It's three interludes. Interesting.
I even like the Mystic Journey freestyle. That's an interlude for me.
Let me hear that one. Oh yeah.
Closer to my destiny.
Because that's coming off of
Psilocybin.
Psilocybin is about, you know, taking the shrooms. When you go to Mystic Journey, it's like you still in La La Land. Like, it plays into the role. Like, you coming off of your, you still in the high, but you starting to come out and you starting to see, like, ooh, all these, you know, whatever that experience is when you're on that, like, trip is an excellent conceptual album. Interludes and all. It's one cohesive, excellent album. Slept on.
Like Anderson .Paak, he have an interlude with Jasmine Sullivan.
Oh, do we? You know, before you play that, I like Anderson .Paak. I like his voice. I love his tone. He might just be a little too upbeat for me.
Yeah, but I accept it.
Oh, listen.
Why I accept it is because, like, it's him. It's the artist. And, like, he lets you into his artistry enough to know, like, why he creates the music that he creates, like his whole thing with his band, Free Nationals. So
why wasn't he in your list last week for men in R&B then?
I don't consider him R&B.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I wanted to, but I really felt like you was going to come for me, so nah. But I really wanted to.
Maybe don't second guess yourself then.
Don't mind pacing outside, but damn, it's cold. It's too cold. It's too cold.
Oh, damn. Oh, friend. Too much fun in the AM. I forgot my keys and my clothes. It's your girl coming home, cause it's cold now. And I'm locked up. Oh, hell. Too real. Waiting outside in my good heels. I forgot my keys and my clothes. It's your
I like that. I like that.
I just had to replug Frank Ocean real quick because on Channel Orange, his intro start and his outro end. I love the outro.
Looks like all we've got is each other. The truth is absolute. Remember when all I had was my mother. She didn't compromise. She could recognize. Our daughters and our sons are just candles in the sun.
That's definitely a good outro.
I really don't like to talk about Frank on our episodes just yet because it's complicated because it's just so beautiful.
Frank complicated.
Like, that is a very underappreciated artist. And not even just for his music, his songwriting.
Yeah.
Because, like, come on now. He wrote Beyonce's I Miss You.
That's my shit.
Exactly. And even when he sing it live, look, that's going, listen.
When we start getting into the breakdown of the songwriting, oh, that's going to be crazy. Because if you really pay attention to the artists that are artists themselves, as well as songwriters, you can tell when somebody wrote a song.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you really pay attention to, like, being a fan of Frank Ocean and listening to I Miss You by Beyonce, you can hear Frank.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
Same goes for, like, Neo songs.
Yeah. Neo.
So, what's an intro to an interlude, man?
What's an intro to an interlude? It's an essential. We up in 2020. It's essential to have the interlude among your album.
Yes.
We need it.
We do.
We need them.
And we need more of them.
Don't let them go. We need the interludes.
And I'm not talking about the ones where you give me the little voicemail call. Can we, like, end that trend?
I would rather you have that at the end of your song and not individually amongst your album as an interlude.
I'm over it.
I'm over it too.
Well, we thank you guys for joining in today and listening to our perception of the vibe. Make sure you like, subscribe, comment down below. What's your favorite interlude? What's your favorite intro? Did you like the Chilombo album? My name is Breeze.
I'm Shake B.
And you can find me on Instagram _CoolBreeze.
And you can find me at ShakeHouseMG, one word, on IG.
Check the details for spelling.
We definitely will have the link for the playlist in the bio. Oh, next week, what are we talking about next week?
We got a special coming for you guys next week.
All right, I think we working on the end of the year wrap-up.
Facts, 2021.
Yeah, this year went by fast, but slow as hell.
Back.
All right, we'll see y'all next week.
See y'all next week.